I think most everybody in here knows by now that Brother Nathan's cancer has come back, and he's going in tomorrow to talk with the doctor about whatever options there are. And needless to say, they're troubled and their family's troubled. And this message, I kind of prepared with them in mind. Now, I'd like for you to turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to be speaking on the first four verses here, but I want you just to hold your place there for a little while. Men often speak of the Lord as though circumstances dictate how God works in one place or another. They talk as though the living God were ignorant of certain situations, or as though he had no power over creation or providence. And they say, yes, but, and then they begin to tell you whatever circumstances there were. Yes, I believe God does the work. And yet, but. But. Well, just take that word but, if you got a pencil, and erase it out when it's used that way. God worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. A man said recently, well, the Lord uses different means in different places. Is that true? Is that true? Does God work differently in Arkansas than he would in California? Are sinners somehow different out there than they are here? Is there some difference in the power needed to convert sinners out there than there is here? Does he work differently in deepest, darkest Africa than he does here in the United States? You get back there among those heathens, probably grew up worshiping a totem pole or something, or some kind of god, and they got these witch doctors, and they're dancing around half-dressed with a bone in their nose. Does God work differently there than he does here? Does he work differently among the wise than he does among the heathen, or among the religious than he does the heathen? Does circumstance dictate how God saves sinners? Well, my friend, let me tell you something about the God of glory. God cannot change. Now let that go in. God cannot change. God will not change. And God does not change. In Malachi chapter 3 verse 6, he said, I am the Lord, I change not. And he uses that not as a warning, but as a prop, as a hope. He said, I am the Lord, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. It's the very unchangeableness of God that props us up. That's what my hope is based on that. What if God could change? Well, he might say one thing now, but when I get to judgment, say something else. What if circumstance dictated the change? I might be a believer all my life and drop the ball right at the last minute. What kind of a hope is that? God cannot change. He cannot change. God is unchangeable. He's unchangeable in his character. God's absolute perfections of character will never change. I beg you, go to the Word of God and read it. Don't go out into eternity expecting God to to change. God's not going to change. He's the same now, He was the same in the beginning, and He's going to be the same in eternity future. He's as holy now as He was in eternity past when He dwelt all alone. He's as righteous now as He was before the fall of man. The fall of man did not affect the righteousness of God one iota. God is as just today as He was when He buried this world in a flood. And so it is with all His glorious attributes. His love for His elect never changes. Never changes. It didn't, He loved Jacob. Didn't He said that? Jacob have I loved. Well, what about when Jacob was slipping and falling and floundering around? What about all that? He come out as, He called him the heel grasper. That's what his name meant. He come out, had hold of Esau's foot. God's love never changed. Never changed. And so it is. His mercy and grace are as pure now as they were before the foundation of the world. His kindness and long-suffering have not diminished because of time and circumstance. God is unchangeable in His character. I can read about Noah. How many thousands of years ago was that? How could you get any hope out of that? Old Noah sitting back there. God said He looked down on His creation, looked down on humanity, and every thought of the, every imagination of man, all of his thoughts was only evil continually. But it said Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And I can read about old Noah finding grace in the eyes of the Lord and all of that, and I can take comfort in it, knowing that that grace is the same right now as it was back then. I can read about God's mercy toward rebellious Israel, and I can find hope knowing that His mercy never changes. Never changes. God's character never changes. Old Testament or new, ancient or present day, eternity past or eternity future. I am the same, our Lord said, yesterday, today, and forever. I was talking to one of my sisters about the wrath of God against sin. And she had a belief. She said, I just don't believe in eternal punishment. I don't believe in hell. And she said, of course you wouldn't. Of course you wouldn't. Why would you? I'm telling you here this morning, some of you don't believe it either, even though you confess that you do. If you believed it, you'd be trying to do something, keep them going there. Eternal punishment? And I was quoting to her some of the examples and statements out of the Old Testament, and she said, yes, but that all changed when Jesus came. Did it? Did God's wrath change any at all? No. If it had changed, He wouldn't have crucified His own Son. He wouldn't have put His own Son to death. God's justice hadn't changed any at all. God cannot change. To change would indicate a weakness in God. Why would God change? Is there something that perfect wisdom doesn't know? Is there something, some unknown power that's a threat to the Almighty? Is His purposes and counsels full of flaws and imperfections so that He can't do the things that He would? He told those unbelieving men in the Old Testament, He said, is my hands tied? Is my arm shortened that I cannot save? Is there something out there to prevent God from doing what He's purposed to do? God cannot change. And if He could, He'd cease to be God. Now turn with me to James chapter 1. Because God Himself cannot change, His blessings and His gifts can't change either. I want you to see this. God cannot change. If I had time, I could spend an hour going through the Bible showing you scriptures that says that very thing. God Himself cannot change, neither can His blessings and gifts, because He Himself, the giver, is unchangeable. Now look at this. James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift. What in the world is he talking about? Well, the gift of God is eternal life, isn't it? He's talking about eternal life. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. So he's talking about faith. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and it cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4 tells us that God the Father hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Have I any reason to believe that something in time or circumstance can prevent these gifts from being bestowed upon those for whom it was purposed? You can't, can you? Because He can't change. They're no variable. They're not even a shadow of turning in Him. Those whom God the Father blessed from eternity past has no variable. I don't care what happens in time, if man falls, if angels fall, I don't care what happens in time. I don't care where he lives, I don't care how far away he is. God's blessings are not going to change. Those for whom he purposed these blessings are going to receive these blessings. Nothing can prevent these gifts from being bestowed upon his people. Is there some unforeseen event, some unknown problem, some uncalculated trouble to prevent the grace and mercy of God in Christ from being victorious? Absolutely not. None can stay His hand or say unto Him, what dost thou? Because of the giver of these gifts has no variableness, neither shadow of turning, in Christ we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated unto the adoption of children, according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Unchanging. Unchanging. What about if I slip and fall? Doesn't affect Him whatsoever. Oh, but what about if, like David, I forget, and then I begin to, I get just full of myself. I'm the king. I'm the king, Winston. I'm sitting on the throne. I get full of myself. And before you know it, I'm looking down there on a woman, and I begin to lust after her, but she's married. But I'm the king. I'm the king. So I take care of him. I'm going to kill him. We're not going to do it that way. We're going to do it religious. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send him out into battle, and then we'll tell my key men, now when you get out there, y'all back off. Just leave him out there in the front. My soul. Huh? What about that? God doesn't change. You don't care. Plotted and planned the murder of his best friend, one of his chief men and most faithful men in his kingdom. God didn't change. God didn't change. I could tell you some things about Solomon. I'll spare that because of the little children here this morning. God didn't change. And so it is with the Apostle Paul. What about Paul? He's out here holding the coat of God's evangelist. He's out here holding his coat while these men put him to death. God didn't change. Didn't change. Because the giver of these gifts has no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In Christ we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. And what about God's promises? God has promised eternal life, adoption, redemption, reconciliation, salvation, regeneration, sanctification, preservation. What about all those promises? Are these promises subject to change? Is there something out there that's going to cause God's promises not to come to you for whom they were purposed? Listen to the Scriptures. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability. You know what that means? Unchangeableness. To show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it with an oath, that by two immutable things, God's word, God's oath, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. It's not the changeable God of free will works religion that offers hope to sinners, but the sovereign, immutable God of glory. That's who offers hope. When men get in trouble, they don't pray to a God who's not sovereign, because an unsovereign God can't do them any good. They pray to a sovereign then. Now, God, we know, if it be Your will, You can save us. You can spare me from this. Well, yesterday you thought free will saved you. Now today you pray unto a sovereign God. I'm telling you, God doesn't change. And you don't want one who can. He can't do you any good. He can't do you any good. If God could change in the present, He could change in the future. Creation will one day wax old as a garment, and as a vesture He'll fold them up. And they shall be changed, He said. But thou art the same. Fold creation up like an old sack. It served its purpose. It's went its length. It's done its job. It accomplished its end. And now He just folds it up. But God's the same. He doesn't change any. He doesn't change any. And because He cannot change, His word cannot change. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My word shall not pass away. And so it is with everything concerning the salvation of God's elect. They're just one body. They're not a Jewish body and a Gentile body. They're not a Catholic body and a Protestant body. They're one body. Always was, always will be. One body. The Church of the Living God. And there's just one Spirit. The Spirit of the Living God is one. And as God, He's immutable. He's unchangeable. He's the same now as He was when He brooded and moved upon the waters of creation. His work is the same. He still enlightens, regenerates, calls, works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. He don't work one way in one church and another way in another church. There's one body and there's one Spirit. Even as you're called in one hope of your calling, there's just one hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's just one hope. Just one hope given to sinners, called of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. And then He tells us this. He said, there's just one Lord. There's just one Lord. In His time He shall show, in His times, I'm sorry, I misquoted that. In His times He shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. That's 1 Timothy 6. Verse 15. God showed His lordship in His eternal counsels and appointments of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only a sovereign could do that. He showed His lordship in the promises and prophecies of the Old Testament Scriptures. He showed His lordship in the creation of the world. He showed His lordship by His virgin birth, His miracles, His death and resurrection. He showed His lordship and shows it right now in His present reign and glory. And He shows His lordship in the calling out of every chosen vessel in this world. The first thing He does is declare to you His lordship. He's Lord. He's Lord of the dead and the living. He's Lord. Just one Lord. And there's just one faith. True faith is the gift of God's sovereign grace. It is. True faith is the gift of God's sovereign grace who enables us to believe. He gives us a faith that is of such quality as to survive all things, trials and troubles and persecutions, even death. These all died in faith. And if any man draw back, the Lord said, my soul shall have no pleasure in him, but we're not of them that draw back unto perdition. We're of them who believe to the saving of the soul. Why? Because He gave you faith. And He ain't going to take it back. He ain't going to take it back. I'll never leave you. You know why? Because He don't change. He don't change. One Lord, one faith. One baptism. Baptism is immersion. Several times in the Scriptures we're said to be buried with Him in baptism. Baptism is the believer's confession of faith, and baptism is the answer of an obedient conscience toward God. And baptism is not optional. It's the commandment of God. Baptism's only for believers. That Ethiopian eunuch asked, what doth hinder me from being baptized? He said, you believe? Huh? Well, pull that chariot over. I'll baptize you. If you believe. Because faith is the gift of the unchangeable God. There's no part of our salvation which God the Father is not involved in. Every part of it. From its conception in the beginning to its end according to His purpose and for His glory. And I, for one, am just sick to death of hearing about all the different ways that God saves sinners. That's a lie. It's a lie. That's the doctrines of devils is what it is. It's Antichrist. God does not change. And because He does not change, His means are the same. His promises are the same. His word is the same. I change not. And because I don't change, you're not consumed. Huh? Because I don't change, you have a hope. My soul, what if He changed? Oh, what if He looked at you and what you do and what you think? And what you say, what kind of hope would you have? You'd be on the mountaintop one minute, in the valley the next, blown about with every wind of doctrine. But your God does not change. And because He don't, my hope don't change. My hope don't change. Peter doesn't write to everyone that's made a profession of faith. He's not writing to every man or woman who takes to themselves the name Christian. He writes to them. Now listen. In verse 1, 2 Peter 1, 1. He writes unto them who have obtained. Who'd they get it from? The unchangeable God. Who have obtained. Now listen. Like precious faith. I'm going to tell you something. I don't care where you go. Things don't change. When I cross that Mississippi River going over there to Mississippi, ain't nothing changed. Just the state. Just the geography. That's the only thing that's changed. Nothing changes over there. It's same over there as it is here. It's same when I go up Kentucky. It's same. If I go to Alabama, it's same. It's same everywhere. He's talking here to men and women who have like precious faith. And I talk to men on the telephone from Australia, and they believe the same thing. I've talked to men from Africa. They believe the same thing. God preached to them the same gospel. God calls them, give them an understanding to understand the grace of God in Christ and that salvation accomplished by Him. It's the same. I don't care where you meet them, Russell, it's the same. Those who have obtained, they have it in their possession. They have it. How do I know you have it? That's what I want to know. How do I know I'm one that this unchangeable God has loved? How do I know that I'm the object of His love and the object of His gifts? How do I know it's been given to me? I tell you how I believe. I believe. Oh, preacher, I don't believe like I ought to. That's why it's not in your care to preserve. That's exactly why. We're kept by the power of God through faith. Thank God it's not in my possession to keep. I couldn't keep anything. Oh, He can, though. He can. He writes to them who have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you can't grow in grace until you're called by grace. You can't believe in grace until you hear of grace. And you can't walk in grace until God enables you to understand it and receive it and rejoice in it. 2 Peter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Oh, my soul, it wasn't in my power. It wasn't my decision, my little piddly decision. Well, you say, you mean, somebody said the other day that I just don't believe in a God who drags people into heaven. I don't either. I believe in God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And you'll be willing in the day of His power. Till then, you ain't going to be willing. But I'll tell you this, you'll be willing to do every silly thing there is under heaven except for that. You'd be willing to walk down aisles. You'd be willing to kiss some old phony's hand, ring, and whatever else there is. You'd be willing to do that. You'd run around here and make a fool out of yourself doing that. But you'd be willing in the day of His power to bow to Christ and look to this unchangeable God. Free will, evolutionary salvation is what I call it. Has led men and women to believe in an evolutionary creation. And they're both a total denial of the Word of God. It's all and every part of our salvation according to His divine power. That's what Peter's telling them. This unchangeable God who's almighty, according to that power, has imparted to you wisdom, knowledge, life, all things. Boy, that's a big word, that all things. Not just some of them. All things that pertain unto life and godliness. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Well, God didn't save me that way. Could be God didn't save you at all. Maybe you ought to think about that. Maybe you just ought to give that some thought. Maybe God didn't save you. Or God uses different means in different places. Maybe He hadn't used His means toward you at all. Let me tell you something. Men say, I hear this all the time. Well, I made up my mind, turn over a new leaf, and I told God if He'd save me, I'd follow Him the rest of my life. God don't make deals. What kind of God do you got? We're going to attribute creation to God, but He'll sit and listen to me make deals with Him. That's
foolishness.
It's all of God, and it's all of grace, and it's all according to His good pleasure. According to the divine power of our unchangeable God, He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And if it weren't so, nobody'd have it. Nobody'd have it. And He's given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, promises of sonship, promises of life eternal, promises of redemption, justification, sanctification, promises of righteousness, promises of the resurrection, promises of preservation. And all of these promises, He said, that you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Let me tell you something. Children of God are born of God. They're born of God. They're new creatures in Christ Jesus, and old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. When a man, woman, boy, or girl is born of God, it's sometimes called a washing and a renewing in Titus 3, verses 5 and 6. And by faith we see our sins washed away in the blood of Christ. By faith we see our filthy rags of righteousness washed away and a new robe of perfect righteousness provided for us. All of our old ideas and concepts are renewed with the truth, and we're made wise unto salvation, having escaped that corruption that's in the world through lust. It's not talking about an eradication of the old nature here. No honest man can say he's free from the depravity of his nature. You can't do it and be honest. You might do it to another person and hide it from him, but you can't be honest with yourself and say, I don't have any sin. John said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Paul was a saved man. He was an apostle and a writer of Scripture, and yet he cried, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Brethren, according to the Scriptures, our enemies shall be they of our own household. They're not trying to be your enemies. I'm not angry with my relatives. They're not trying. They're not trying to be my enemies. That's not what they're attempting to do, but they're your enemies because of the influence they have over you with the lies that they've been deceived to believe. And because they're close to you, they do you harm. Believers escape this corruption because they know better, because they know their end, and because they've been enlightened of God. And believers are all of like precious faith. Their faith all comes from the same source. Their faith all comes by the gift of God's grace. Their faith has the same object, Christ. Their faith has the same wisdom, Christ crucified. Their faith all comes the same way, through the preaching of the gospel and the power of God's Spirit. Their faith is all preserved the same way. They hear the gospel of God and grow in grace under the power of the Holy Spirit. Their faith all bears the same fruit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness. Their faith all survives trials and troubles, and they all die in faith, all of them. Believers all have like precious faith, and it's the same because the giver is the same, and it remains the same because He never changes. He never changes. May God be pleased to give us all such faith.